That's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive ye unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Good evening. It's very nice to be back with each and every one of you tonight. I, again, am very thankful to have the opportunity to fill in for Brother Andy. Had a very nice day. Had the opportunity to go out and eat with several of the students, and certainly we enjoyed the fellowship that we had. And also Brother Jonathan and his wife was with us, and indeed we're excited for them, and I'm so excited that they'll be here next fall to be a part of the school, and I'm excited for what they're going to bring to us. I want to do a lesson tonight that really in some ways is taken in part from a lesson that I heard when I was down polishing the pulpit. And the lesson was titled, I Want to Go Home. Now, being a good old country boy, that doesn't sound like the right English to me. I want to go home. It seems to me like we should say, I want to go home, which is what I've titled the lesson, I Want to Go Home. And some of you may be sitting back here thinking, well, there's the door. Go ahead and go. But we're not quite done yet, so you'll have to bear with me. I want to go home. And as this lesson was done, I got to thinking a whole lot about what is home. What is home? What did home used to be? What is home now? But I know as a Christian, I think a lot about what home is going to be. And I look forward to that home. I miss my home when I was young. I miss those days when I lived in Jacksonburg, West Virginia. I miss growing up on a farm. I miss those times that we had raising chickens and cows and our pony Fireball. And I miss those times of being in the garden. And all those times that I spent with my pap and he would teach me lessons. Those times that I didn't even know he was teaching me lessons, but yet he was teaching me. Giving me things that on down the road I would think about. And now, as a middle-aged man, I look back on such great fondness, with such great memories of those things that my pap had shared with me. Boy, I long for those days to maybe go back just one more time and spend that time in the hayfield where we put up over 700 bales of hay that afternoon. Or maybe go back to that time where my brothers and my dad, we would be building fence to keep our livestock in. Boy, I miss those days. I loved home. I was very privileged to grow up in a great home. Very privileged to have all those opportunities that I had with a Christian mother, with a Christian grandparents, and how great it was to be able to be brought up in the Lord's church and go to different meetings throughout this time of year in the springs and going to hear some of that outstanding speaking from some great gospel preachers. Boy, I miss those times, and I can never go back to them because they're gone forever, and yet I'm so thankful. And so many of those that are involved in my times at home when I was younger, they can never come to me again because they've passed on from this earth. I do have the confidence and I do have the hope that one day I will pass on from this earth and I will go to them, that we will be reunited and I will be with my pap who taught me so much, who helped me understand so much about the home and about a Christian home and a Christian life. I remember in August of 1988, I left home in some ways what was for the final time. I was packed and headed off to Bethany College. And in so many ways, and even though I've been back home so many times, truly I've never been back home because I did so much growing up from that period of time that I left to go to school and when I finally came back. Things were different. Things were changed. But oh, how I miss those times when we were at home. A place where we laughed and played sports and worked in the garden. A place where we cut wood and baled hay. We hunted and we had each other. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me in my life as a young boy is when my brothers and I got in trouble at the bus stop. And at dinner that night, my dad set us three down. And he told us how in life we only have each other. Boy, that was a moving night. That was something for all of us to think about that was at that table that night. That as family, we have each other. And boy, I so love the fact that I have that family at home, but I have a home in the Church of Christ where I also have family members. I think of my own home now down in Belmont, where my wife is and my two sons who I love so dearly, my youngest son who is so funny, the times that we have and the times that we spend together. I think of my current spiritual home, a home that I have in the body right now. The Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? Are you not your own?" Friends, we live our life right now. We have a soul that is in our body. Our body becomes the temple of God. Our body is the dwelling place of God's Spirit. We have a natural body and we have a spiritual body. Our physical body is going to pass on, but that spiritual body is going to continue to go on in eternity. While we live at home where we live now and we look back with so many great memories, probably for every single one of us in here, that remember those days that are going by, those times of our youth and those times with individuals that we had spent with, those times that we had been taught by those that we love, we know that those have passed. And we know that we will be home here in our body only for a short period of time. But what is the home that we should look to? When I say I want to go home, I think of the idea that I want to go to heaven. That is going to be my home, and what a great place that it's going to be. It's going to be a great place that God has given assurance to those that overcome sin within this life, to those that conquer the struggles that they have within this life. Overcome, as we will see here shortly, used in a Revelation letter, is the idea that we are victorious. You know that word overcome that was told to the seven churches that were in Asia in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is from the Greek word Nikeo. Nike. Isn't it interesting that our own brand of shoes, Nike, comes from that word, to be victorious, to be a conqueror. Great promise. A great promise has been made to you and I. A great promise has been made to the seven churches that were at Asia, that there is a place that awaits that is beyond imagination, I believe, for any one of us. A place in which we have comfort, we have the safety, and we have the rest of home that we so long desire. A great reward for all those that overcome and all those that conquer within this life. I've always enjoyed my home here upon this earth. But you know, things don't stay the same at my home here upon this earth. Times change. People change. I've grown older, and so have my family members, and so have all of us. And it doesn't seem like it's very long until when we are at home that we find the empty chair. That when we are at home that we find those that are simply gone to come back no more. I want to go home to that place of great comfort. I want to go home to that place of safety. Go home to that place of love. To know and to understand that it is never going to end. That it will be comfort all the time that I am there throughout all of eternity. That it will be love throughout all of eternity. And it will be safety throughout all of eternity. I don't totally understand what it was like for those that would have been written to back in the first century church to understand the safety issues completely that they would have faced. I know that many of them simply faced death for being a Christian. How privileged we are that we came here tonight without fear of being harmed in any kind of way. But indeed, there are those that would like to hurt us, isn't there? There are those that would like to harm us. There are those that would like to put us in the way of danger. And yet in our home that we look forward to going to, there is no possibility of being unsafe. To those that John wrote to, they could not say the same as they had to endure great persecution. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37. We find here the Apostle Paul is talking to that church at Rome about being conquerors. Hope was given to those that overcome because of what they will receive in heaven. And before we go on any further with our lesson tonight, I want all of us to know and to understand that we have comfort in this life because of what we are going to be given in heaven if we are faithful in Christ. You and I must conquer and you and I must overcome within this life. If we're to have part of that great reward, we need to overcome whatever it is that may harm us, that may hurt us, and may tear us away from living a life that is of a Christian. In Romans chapter 8, in verses 35 through 37, here the Apostle Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" Boy, you ask a great question. What is it that can separate us? What is it that can remove us from the love of Christ? Friends, Christ's love has come to you and I. Christ loves us. God loves us. And the only thing that can tear us away is ourselves and the things that are within this life. "For your sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." The greatness of the resurrection of Christ Jesus when he overcame death. It's impossible to think about life after death without the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Because he overcame death, you and I have that opportunity to overcome death. You and I have that opportunity to go to a place in which we can call home. And we can be assured and we can know that there is a place that is awaiting for you and I because God has said it is so. If we are in Christ and faithful to him, and if we overcome within this life, if we conquer within this life those things that tear us away, God has prepared a way through Christ Jesus. Who, as he told to those in our reading tonight, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, or you believe in God, believe in me also. In my Father's house are many mansions." My friends, Jesus has prepared a home for you and I that one day we can make our own, that one day in Christ we can live forever in comfort. If you would, turn back to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And the rest of the time that we have together tonight, I don't want to talk about the churches necessarily that was being written to here, the angel of the church had written to, but I want to talk about what is given to them that overcome. What is given to them if they are conquering within this life, if they are found faithful in Christ when they come to the end. You know, we find some of these congregations, and as I said, we're not going to talk about them, but some of them had a ways to go. Some of them had work to do. Some of them were not found in a favorable sight. But yet the message was the same to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Whatever it is that is besetting us, the goal is, as we go through this life, to overcome. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, John said, these are the words of Christ, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of paradise, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." I want you to consider for just a second the tree of life as it sits in heaven. We've heard of this tree of life before. We know that in the very beginning, the tree of life was in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, we find here that in the beginning, when Adam and Eve were there, that the tree of life was there for their use. "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." The tree of life. Adam and Eve were able to partake of the tree of life and they were able to live. They made a bad decision. Tempted by Satan, Eve partook of that fruit, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But until that time, the tree of life, the one that allows us to live, the one that allows us to go on, it is there in the midst of the garden. I've often wondered, what does this tree look like? We don't know. We can't speculate on that, and probably it's useless to do so. But I always consider the beauty of the trees. I consider our own Ohio Valley here when fall comes and how beautiful it is. I consider those trees that were coming out in bloom 3 weeks ago and how pretty they were. But in heaven, as in the midst of the garden, there's a tree of life. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. There's a tree that is in heaven to those that overcome that gives us life everlasting, that gives us that hope and that promise of going on. John references this tree again at the close of Revelation in 22 and verse 2. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Think about the importance of this tree that is there. Think about the promise and the hope of going on. Verse 14, blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. Friends, as Christians and in Christ, to those that overcome, they will have the right to that tree of life. Boy, I want to see that tree of life. I want to go home. I want to go home where I can live forever, where there is no more pain and no more sorrow, a place where I can be confident and know that there is no more death, that I will not die again. Just as Jesus said to the church at Smyrna in verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. The second death. The judgment scene when all nations are there before God, before Christ. And we find that there will be a separation of those that have followed God and those that have not. And to those that have not followed God, they will experience that second death. And boy, don't we live in a society where we want to try to figure out how is it I can go and go and go and go and go. And if by chance someone lives to a very old age, what's the question that they are asked? What's your secret? How is it that you have lived so long? I heard one individual say, well, I smoke a cigar a day. Well, that can't be the answer. I knew someone that smoked a cigar a day, and they died at 35. We want to try to figure out, how do we go on and on? How do we not die? And friends, we can't escape it. We can't avoid it. But what we can avoid is that second death. Matthew, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, said, and do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Friends, that is only one. That is God. God is the only one that can destroy both. And yes, there are many that walk upon this earth that can destroy our bodies, including ourselves. But we can't fear that, because that is a natural course that all of us will take. But I want to go to the place where there is no second death. I want to go to the place where I don't have to be concerned that those around me are going to be here for a period of time and then they're going to go. In heaven, the promise is life. The promise is no second death to those that overcome. I want to go home. I want to be where that takes place. To the church that was at Pergamos, Jesus said in verse 17, "He who has an ear to hear, or he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." To those that were at Pergamos, if they overcome, they will receive the hidden manna. The hidden manna. I love the idea of manna. I wish we knew more about exactly what manna is. But we find out when the children of Israel left Egypt and they come up out of the land, it was not very long until they began to murmur. It was not very long until they began to complain about many, many things. And particularly, they simply said, "Why have you brought us out here to die? Why have you led us away from our home and led us away from our safety? Why have you brought us to a place where there is absolutely nothing to eat?" Turn with me, if you would, back to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You know, one of the things that we can say about God and His love for His people is that He has never left them short. He has never, ever failed them. But things don't always come in the time frame that I think they should come. You know, the children of Israel, after seeing all those things, and they go to Moses and they say, "We're hungry. At least down in Egypt, we had these things to eat." Begin with me in chapter 8 and verse 1. "Every commandment which I must command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you." Verse 3. "He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord." The children of Israel were humbled. They were made to be hungry so they could depend upon God. Over in verse 16, it says, "Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you, and that He might test you to do you good in the end?" Gave manna. To those that are at Pergamos, He says, "If you overcome, I will give you some of that hidden manna." Why is it hidden? I love the concept of the hidden manna. We had Chinese for lunch today. Now, I'm going to assume that I know where that Chinese food came from. I will assume. Going to go home tonight. My wife said she's fixing chicken. I know where that chicken has come from. I had some cereal for breakfast this morning. I know where that cereal came from. We've raised the garden at home, and I go out and we do beans, we do corn, we do those other kind of things. We can them. I know where that comes from. The children of Israel would wake up every morning, and what was before them? Manna. All over the ground for them to eat. It was hidden in the fact that God is the one that put it there. It was hidden in the fact that they didn't see it made. It was hidden in the fact that they didn't know. But yet it was God that provided for them. Yet it was God that took care of them in their time of need and humbled them. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That may sound familiar to all of us in here over in Matthew, the great temptation where Christ Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone. I think in John where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. To those that overcome, they're going to be given that manna by God. They're going to be given that true bread. The church that is at Thyatira, chapter 2 and verse 26, Jesus says, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, him I will give power over the nations. Well, that's an interesting concept there, isn't it? Power over the nations. How does that work? Friends, we're going to reign there with Christ. We're going to see the power that he has over the nations. We are fellow heirs. We are joint heirs with Christ. And the rule that he has in heaven, we will be there beside him. And we will be there to worship him, and we will be there to live in peace and to live in comfort all the days of our life. To the church at Sardis in chapter 3 and verse 5, he who overcomes shall not be clothed in, or shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before the Father and before the angels. I will not blot out his name. You know, as somebody who enjoys sports, there's some records that I could probably share with you. I know those passing leaders in the NFL who rank their highest in their careers, and who has scored the most points, and who has the most receiving yards. And it's interesting, we see those record books, and we go, boy, they were a pretty good player. But it's interesting in the record books because those names from time to time get blotted out because someone new comes along and takes the record. That's not what we have with Christ. Those that overcome, their name are in the book and their name are kept in the book. The book of life, to him that overcomes, to him that conquers. I want to go home and I want to be in that book. That book where I can have that promise of eternal life. That book in which I can be confessed before God. What a concept it is to think that Christ Jesus knows our names. And what a concept it is to know that if we've confessed Christ here upon this earth, that Christ will confess us before his Father. I want to be a humble servant of Christ, and I want to be known as that. When my pap was in the hospital up at Wheeling, the first time he'd gotten cancer, he'd gotten visitors that had come to see him. And I was young, probably about 23, 24 years old. And it's interesting, I threw this idea out about records. I used to have some records in high school. My name has since been blotted out, by the way. But I used to have some records, and I used to be known as a football player. And I used to be known as a college graduate. And at that point in time, I was known for working in the field of mental health. And at that point in time, I was known for dating Eddie, my wife. And boy, I thought those things were important. And as the two men were there visiting with my pap, immediately my pap introduced me to those two men. And I will never, ever forget how he introduced me. Of all the ways he could have introduced me, he introduced me as his grandson, Scotty. And he's a member of the Lord's church. And he works with the youth down at Waverly. Friends, I've never had a better introduction in my life. I am a member of the Lord's church. I want to go home as a member of the Lord's church. I want to go and I want to see that one again that taught me that incredibly valuable lesson. I want to be confessed to God that I've been a servant of the cross, that I've done everything that I can to spread that great gospel, to live with humility, and to serve my Lord and Savior. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Jesus' own words in Matthew 10 and verse 32. To the church at Philadelphia in chapter 3 and verse 12. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven and from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Boy, names are important, aren't they? Names are important. I hope everybody in here likes their name. Sometimes we get called nicknames, don't we, Christy? I hope we like our name. But you know what? The name I want to wear for all of eternity, it's not Scott Michael Judge. I want to wear the name of Christian. I want to wear the name of Christian. I want to wear the name of God's Son. We will wear the name of God when we are in heaven. You know, we wear the name of Christ here upon this earth as a Christian. But this language is similar to what John wrote in chapter 7 and verse 3, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. Chapter 22 and verse 4, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. Boy, that's what I want to be. To the church at Laodicea, chapter 3 and verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. I want you to think for just a second. I will grant to sit with me on my throne. You know, isn't it interesting that we consider as we go through life that we get used to people being in the same seat. We get used to people occupying the same chair. One time I went to a congregation and people always say, there's no assigned seats here at this church. And a guy comes in after class and I'd sat down before the song leading and he came up and he tapped my shoulder and he goes, you're going to have to scoot down, you're in my seat. I thought, okay, finally, somebody's admitted to it. This is my seat. You know, I remember when I was a boy, speaking of home, Pap had a seat at the dinner table. He sat in the same place every single time that I remember. And it never changed. He sat in that same chair. He sat in that same spot. And boy, the love that I had for my Pap and I was his boy. He was my Pap. My chair was right beside his. Boy, it was an important position as a young child to go and to sit beside Pap when we sat down for a meal. We have seats that we begin to appreciate within this life. We think of chairs. We think of places that people sit, of roles that people occupy. But Jesus says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. My throne. The throne of Christ. We will sit with Christ, who is going to reign forever in a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Friends, I want to go home. I want to go to that place where there is that safety and that comfort. I want to be in that place so I can see and experience heaven. And I think about the great things that I've had here upon this earth, and they pale in comparison to what heaven holds for each and every one of us. To all of us, if we simply overcome, if we conquer here within this life, that if we are in Christ and remain faithful to Christ, that we can sit with Him, we can be with Him, our name can be confessed. We will have access to that tree of life and that river of life. What a glorious time that is going to be. Those that overcome, I want to go home. I want to go home. I don't know when that time is going to come, but I live my life looking forward to it. I live my life simply saying and knowing, if it's in the next 10 minutes or it's in the next 50 years, I want to be ready to go. Boy, what great comfort there is that Christ Jesus has gone to prepare a place. My Father's house are many mansions. Are you ready to go home? Have you prepared yourself in your life for the joys that are in Christ when the time here upon this earth is over? I encourage all of you, be ready to go home. Be ready to be with one another. Boy, that's the thing that excites me. We talk about going home, and a lot of times, many of us will go home for the holidays, and there's family there that we haven't seen in ages. You know, the day's going to come when there's going to be a reunion at our future home, and there's going to be those people there that we've never seen. There's going to be people there that we haven't seen in ages. And those that are faithful in Christ will be joined together to live forever. Do you believe that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, that He has prepared that way, that He has made a home for all of us? Are you willing to confess that great faith before men? Repent of your sins. We have water behind us in which we will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will arise to walk in a newness of life, a life of hope, a life of peace, a life of promise, a life of knowing. There is a home that awaits. And the direction that I have in my life is to go home. Were you once on your way, but you went back to the ways of the world? Do you need to repent your sins? Make sure that you're ready and prepared for that home, that whatever time it may come, that we're ready to go. Friends, I encourage every single one of you, if you're not ready to go home, get ready now. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing.